Friend, welcome to 500 Seconds to Joy. I'm Stephanie Clarice, a wife and mom with a heart for encouraging other Christian mamas. Join me each week as we meditate on God's Word, learn to love our vocation of motherhood even more, and grow in our faith life. It is truly a joy to have you here and be on this journey with you. Let's begin our 500 Seconds to Joy. Well, hello there, friends. It has been a very long time since I recorded a podcast episode, and I'm really excited to be here. I have my wonderful, beautiful, inspiring mom on the podcast today to talk about her book. And I'm just so proud of her and excited that she published her book of poems. She's such an inspiration to me. And I know she will encourage you. And no matter what you have going on in your life, I really believe these poems can speak to that. Poems sort of touch a deep part of our heart that other writing does not. It's creative. It's a way to introspect. It's, you know, like the Psalms. Psalms are like poems. And so it's just so beautiful. So Jennifer Fishlemp is my mom's name. And she wrote a book called Resting on a Pillow of Prayers, Poems of Loss, Hope, and Healing. You're going to want to hear her story. It's really inspiring, really beautiful how she talks about it all. And I'm just really excited for you to check out her book. It was published with Covenant Books, and it's pretty much available anywhere books are sold, you know, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, all those places. So I think right now she said that going on barnesandnoble.com was probably the best way to get her book. So I will leave links in the show notes to go check out her book and the full title and everything. So you can grab your copy, grab it for yourself, grab it for your family member, a friend, anybody who is going through anything that could be deemed in need of hope, in need of healing. And I think that's most of us, right? So in Romans, this is our verse of the week. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That is Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. So hope does not disappoint. And I believe that my mom's poems really speak to this perfectly. And I think this is a message we all need to hear. Now, quickly, before we hear from my lovely mom, I want to talk to you about what it means that I'm back and what's next and what I've been up to. So I'm back for 2 episodes, and then something really exciting is happening. And I would love for you to stick around and check it out. So my dear friend in real life, Jenna, she is taking over the podcast, but it's not what it sounds like, because it's not staying 500 Seconds to Joy. It's actually getting changed to The Better Part. And Jenna has just a fabulous way of talking about what it means to live out the better part. This is the story of Martha and Mary. I'm sure we're all familiar with this, but if you're not, Jesus came to their house. They're sisters. Mary's sitting at Jesus's feet, and Martha is busy serving. Now, what mom can't relate to that feeling of being busy serving, right? And so Martha, you know, tells Jesus, "Have Mary help me. I'm doing all the serving. I'm burdened." And Jesus says, no, Mary has chosen the better part. So Jenna is going to dive into what it means to choose the better part in our daily life as moms. And spoiler alert, next episode that's coming out is with Jenna and me. And we're going to be talking about this very topic. And you're going to hear more about what is to come with her podcast. So basically, it's a rebrand. So we're going from 500 Seconds to Joy to The Better Part. And this doesn't mean I won't ever be back, but it does mean I'm stepping away from podcasting. I have prayerfully discerned this. Jenna has prayerfully discerned stepping into podcasting. And what's amazing, and this is the work of the Holy Spirit, is that at the same time I felt God nudge me to step away for good, at least for this season in my life with 4 little kids at home and homeschooling and a wonderful husband that I want to spend time with, in this season, I've been asked to step away. And in Jenna's season, she has a bunch of little kids too. And she's married and busy and full life homeschooling. She's been asked to step into podcasting. So it's very Holy Spirit inspired. And I really believe that if you like my podcast, you're going to love hearing from Jenna too. So stick around. And what have I been up to? Well, I've been busy having four little kids. So my oldest is 7 now, and my next is almost 5 in a week. He'll be 5. And then the next is 2.5. And then the baby is 5 months, and he's almost 6 months, which is just crazy to me. I feel like I just had him. I feel like he's always been here, but he just got here. It's a funny feeling. And he's just the sweetest. If you're on my newsletter, you will see a picture of him. If not, just email me. I'll put the email in the show notes. I can send you a picture of him. He's so cute. He's so sweet. And it's just such a joy having a new baby. And he's been a great baby. The first few months are a little tough. They always are. And he had some difficulties with nursing and you know how that all goes. Gassiness, all that. All the baby stuff. But now he's doing great, and he's such a happy baby. He's so smiley, maybe our smiliest baby yet, and I'm just loving having him, and the kids are loving him. So I just have such a full life right now, and I believe God is asking me to fully immerse myself. That doesn't mean people who podcast aren't fully immersing themselves. It just means that right now God's asking me to step away from something I love, which is podcasting and writing and, you know, my emails and my devotionals, all of that. It's still in there. It's still a desire. And I believe God gives us our desires, but I also want to be obedient to God. And it's so funny because Jenna and I talked about this, and Jenna is being obedient by stepping into podcasting, and I'm being obedient by stepping out of it. So anyway, just wanted to give you a little heads up on what's next on the podcast, what I've been up to. As you can imagine, with four little kids and homeschooling, it's a lot of wiping things, cleaning things, preparing meals, reading books, teaching, going through math problems, disciplining, playing, hugging, kissing, exploring so many things that we do as a family. And it's a beautiful life. I really, really love it. And it's hard, yes, but it's the best work I've ever done. And I truly hope I can come back to podcasting one day. But for now, I'm just being obedient to what God has called me to. And that feels really good. So I'm really excited for you to hear from my mom today. This is a little bit of a longer episode, but I really think it's worth it. And my mom has some practical tips, like some really practical things that she does that I think anybody can do, no matter what their life circumstances. And one of them is gratitude, because that is always something we need to be focusing on, right? And so I'm grateful for you being here. I'm grateful that you tuned in today. I'm grateful for the ability to talk into my phone and record an episode and talk to you all over the world. So God bless you and your family. Thank you so much for being here. Now let's hear from my lovely mom. Welcome to the podcast, Mom.
Thank you, Steph.
I'm so excited, everybody. I have my dear mom, Jennifer Fishlemp, on the podcast today. And we are doing a special episode to talk about her book of poems. It's called Resting on a Pillow of Prayers, Poems of Loss, Hope, and Healing. So I'm really excited to have my mom, Jennifer, here today. And let's just get started by sharing a little bit about you and how you got started writing poetry.
Sure. Thank you, Steph. It's a pleasure to be here. I've been married for 40 years, have 2 daughters, 2 sons-in-law, and 4 grandchildren. I've been retired for 5 years from working as a registered dietitian in the healthcare field. And I grew up in the church and I'm still active in it. And the first poem I ever wrote was about 15 years ago when I felt inspired to share what I believe was the best way to live this life we are given. And the poem is entitled A Truly Blessed Life. And it's actually the last poem in the book. Then about 9 years ago, I returned to writing poetry again to ease the pain of the untimely death of my older brother, and later of an eating addiction after the death of my parents and my in-laws. What I found was that writing poetry comforted me and others in a very profound way and gave me peace, which is what I was looking for. With poetry, I can express my deepest feelings and emotions and beliefs related to my life experiences. I actually feel that the Holy Spirit has guided my poetry writing and that my poems are actually love letters from God, where He's encouraging me and reassuring me of His faithfulness. And I've also come to believe that the poetry is the good that God has brought out of my pain and suffering.
Wow, that's beautiful, Mom. I didn't know you started writing poetry 15 years ago. That's a long time. That's
I did.
Wonderful. Yeah, I love your book of poems. And you know, I've always been a big supporter of your poems over the years, but I didn't realize it's been that long. And I didn't realize you went back to it after your brother's death. That's often how I've noticed I process things, by writing. So mm-hmm. I love that you channeled, you know, pain and grief into something really positive, like writing poetry. And that kind of leads right into my next question, which is about your cancer diagnosis. So when you were diagnosed with cancer, I'm curious how you reacted, because I know that poetry is part of the story. And I'm also curious if you ran to God. Did you run to God? Were you mad at Him? What emotions did you experience? I'm curious how this all played into your poetry writing and just what your experience was with this really big diagnosis that was life-altering, really.
Yes, good question. When I was diagnosed with cancer, it was 5 years ago, and believe it or not, it was only 2 weeks after I had retired. And it was a surprise finding during my hysterectomy. I was in absolute and total shock and disbelief. In my career in the health field, giving nutrition counseling to people with cancer, I never thought I would be a person who got cancer and would have to confront my own mortality and eventual death. I had just lost 50 pounds the previous year and thought I was in good health. There was no cancer in my immediate family. My mother and father were both in their 90s, so I thought I was going to have a really long life. At first, the cancer diagnosis honestly felt like a punishment from God. I felt scared and vulnerable and also guilty for what I knew my family was going to go through with me in terms of surgery and chemo and all. I was not angry with God, but I was disappointed and very sad. Surprisingly, I never asked, "Why me, God?" Like Arthur Ashe used to say, if I say, "Why me, God," for the bad times, then I have to say, "Why not me, God?" You know, for the good times. Mm-hmm. Or "Why me, God," for the good times. Mm-hmm. However, I was not ready to accept this diagnosis as a long-term battle, as it turned out to be, because the type of cancer I have is recurrent. It's returned about 6 months after every surgery to remove the tumors. And so far, I've had 4 surgeries, and I'll have my 5th surgery actually in November, very soon. I've also had 4 different courses of chemo, 2 of which shrunk the tumors and 2 of which did not work. So it has been a roller coaster ride, to be sure. But honestly, God has been there every step of the way, miraculously clearing a path for me. And, you know, since my cancer diagnosis, writing poetry has become my special go-to to experience God's nearness, comfort, and joy. In addition to prayer and reading scripture and, you know, all those things that we do. That's pretty much been the history so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can just say as your daughter, watching you go through just all, like you said, all the ups and downs, I can say that you have run to God. I would say you have. obviously you're not perfect at it, and everybody has their moments where they question and are upset and scared, and that's like real life. That's normal. If you weren't, you wouldn't be human. But I can say that, you know, as an observer, I've seen you run to God, and I've seen how, you know, the struggle has really fueled your poetry writing. So mm-hmm. I think it's mm-hmm. just a testament to how God can use our hard things to bring something beautiful out of them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how have you grown in your faith? Because oftentimes God uses suffering to bring us closer to Him. So as you've had these ups and downs over the last 5 years, how has God specifically drawn you closer to Himself?
Yes, another excellent question that gets really to the heart of things, I think. And what His goal through all of this, I feel, has been to draw me closer to Him. And suffering has a way of doing that. If you talk to people, that's what they say. God's shown me His faithful love, basically. And I came to realize that I could trust in Him and rely on Him for literally everything, and that He actually wants me to rely on Him for everything. In the past, I felt I had to do everything for myself, only ask God to help me if I were really desperate. But I feel His presence with me now in a way that I really didn't before cancer. And I've surrendered my whole life to Him. And since I know that He loves me and wants the best for me, I don't worry about the future like I once did. And the fear, I was always pretty much of a fearful person. But now the fear, especially of suffering and death, no longer holds me captive. And that's really opened the door to my being able to trust God. I see Him working in my life all the time. And I was thinking about a popular Christian song that says, God is in the details. And I can really attest to that, because He's proven to me time and time again, He works things out for my good, even if it doesn't look like that at the moment. And if I keep a gratitude journal, which I try to do every day, and write down literally every little thing, it's amazing. I have a full sheet by the end of the day of all the ways that, you know, big and little, that God's taken care of me.
Yeah, that's a good reminder. I used to do more gratitude. I need to get back to that, actually, because when you look for it, I feel like you find it. You know, mm-hmm. what you're looking for, you find somehow. Mm-hmm. It's kind of amazing how that works. Yeah, and, you know, because you've been through this time of suffering, I feel like you're a unique person to ask this question of, because I know people in my audience are suffering, because that's the human experience, and there's varying levels and degrees and seasons of suffering. But I know everybody has some suffering, and some people listening might have some really deep suffering right now. So mm-hmm. I would love to encourage them. And what would you say to someone in a season of suffering, or just anyone who's suffering right now and needs some reassurance, someone who doubts the goodness of God, or maybe they feel far from God, mm-hmm. what would you say to that person?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a tough place to be. And I remember it well from soon after my diagnosis. And actually after my first surgery, I was feeling pretty rough. But the first thing to realize is that suffering is not a punishment from God. You know, Jesus Himself and many of the greatest saints suffered a lot. And that God's only allowing this suffering in your life to draw you closer to Him, to have you rely more on Him and less on yourself. And just know that He will likely use your suffering to help not only you, but someone else, like He's done with my poetry. And I have, actually I wrote down 7 practices that I feel like are especially helpful during times of suffering. First one is when you wake up in the morning, just the first moment, raise your heart and mind to God and tell Him how you feel, whether it's good or bad or whatever, and ask for His grace to make it through the day or through the next hour or through the next minute, literally. Keep praying however you can. Ask people to pray for you. Get on every prayer list you can. And number two is get a good Christian counselor or spiritual director or support person who can accompany you on your journey. You are not meant to make the journey alone at all. Number three.
Amen.
Yes, so true. Read scripture and what the Bible and the saints and Christian authors say about suffering and God's promises. There are a lot of books out there about, you know, God's promises for women, God's promises for men, God's promises for whomever, but they're real. And I think we forget sometimes about them. Number four is go to church if you are physically able. The sense of community can just boost your spirits and break that sense of isolation that can accompany illness. And especially in these days of, you know, COVID still being around, you know, that is also can be isolating. Number five, keep a daily journal where you express your true feelings to God and to yourself. That's really important to be honest. And journaling, I think, is just so healing, can be so healing. Mm-hmm. Be sure to enumerate the things for which you're grateful, no matter how small. This can do a world of good toward focusing on what is going right. Because even in the midst of pain and suffering, and there's still things in your life, if you really think about it, that are actually going right. Maybe they're not the big things that you want to go right or go better, but they are there. And sometimes that's all you need to focus on to just get you through to that next day. Sixth is surround yourself with encouraging Christian music, books, and movies, and just let them wash over you with their hopefulness and joy. Now is not the time to watch, you know, shows about murder or, you know, things that are negative. You know, it's really a time to take care of yourself and let other people also take care of you. Ask for help. Ask, you know, it's not a sign of weakness. It's actually a sign of strength to be able to ask for help. And number seven is continue to give to others to the extent that you can to avoid turning in on yourself, which can happen with deep grief and suffering. That's not to say don't take time for yourself. Sometimes we just have to be quiet and be inside ourselves and with God and just be processing things. And I know my husband has really, you know, your dad has really helped me in that respect, because, you know, he knows sometimes when I don't talk, it's not anything other than I just need to process the pain of the moment, or, you know, just, you know, be by myself, and that's okay. And so if you explain to people what your needs are, it helps them a lot, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really practical. I love all of that. Can you run through all seven of those one more time?
I sure will. I sure will. I know.
I love them.
Okay. So the first one is when you wake up in the morning, tell God how you feel, ask him for his grace to make it through the next whatever, minute, hour, day. Keep praying however you can. Sometimes that's just, you know, Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, please take this pain away. Mm. You know, I remember days when that was my prayer. I couldn't do my usual prayers. I just didn't have it in me. Just didn't have the energy. Just didn't have, the pain was too great. And then get on every prayer list you can. You know, don't be shy about, oh, I'm already on this prayer. No, get on every single prayer list you possibly can. So that's number one. Number two is getting someone to accompany you on the journey. Mm. And again, you know, if you're someone who's felt like, oh, you know, I don't really believe in, you know, counselors, or I feel like that's too extreme a measure or whatever. It's really not. It's really, really not. And it can make a world of a difference. I actually personally have a counselor I talk to every so often now. It used to be every week. And I have a spiritual director I talk to once a month, and I have a support person through an organization called Can Care for people who have cancer. And she actually ended up having a similar type of cancer to myself. And her story is just so inspirational. And I just talked to her yesterday. She said, I want to talk to you before your surgery. So, all these different support people and systems help tremendously. And then three is just read scripture, what the Bible and saints and Christian authors have to say about suffering and God's promises. Remember, God has made us amazing promises, and we just have to recall them and just really part of our faith is believing in those promises, even in the darkest times. And then four is go to church if you can. And the other thing I want to mention here is they have online services you can watch. I know it's not the same as being there, but still it can give you something. Number five is again journaling and including positive things that are happening, as well as expressing your true feelings to God. And it's okay to be mad, to be sad, to be frustrated, to be depressed, to be, and that's okay. And God cares. He listens. I imagine him bending down to hear every thought, every word, every emotion, because he cares. And while he may not take your pain or suffering away, he's there with you. When I had my last surgery last January, I literally could feel Jesus standing at the right side of the head of my bed. I just felt him there, and I just felt a peace. So, just hang in there is all I can say. Just do what you can do of all these things. And then number six is just surround yourself with encouraging music, books, movies, people. If you want to talk to somebody, if you know somebody who really lifts your spirits every time you just hear their voice, get in touch with them or text people. And that goes into number seven. Continue to give to others to the extent that you can to avoid turning in on yourself. What I did when I was able to is call the elderly homebound. I thought, well, I can't do what I usually do for people and through the church or whatever, but I can certainly talk on the phone and I can call somebody who is alone and elderly and see, make sure they're okay, and that gave me a lot of satisfaction knowing I could do something for somebody, even though I had to stay at home.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I love that list, Mom. That's really practical things that we can all do and all should do, actually, no matter what kind of season we're in. I feel like we all need to be, probably having a spiritual director, counseling, journaling, reading scripture, helping others. Obviously, as a young mom, like I'm constantly giving of myself to my family, but sometimes you don't think you're giving to others and you actually are, like with your friends. Like maybe you're just saying some encouraging word to a good friend of yours, and that's actually your way of giving to others because an encouraging word can just really lift someone's spirits and turn their whole day around. So, anyway, thank you, Mom. That was beautiful. I love the practical. Everybody who listens to the podcast knows I love the practical. I love practical things. Thank you. I love that list. And seven is a perfect number, so thank you for that number. Okay, now let's wrap up by talking about your book. So, your book of poetry, I'm going to read the title again, then you can let us know where to find it. So, it's called Resting on a Pillow of Prayers, Poems of Loss, Hope, and Healing. And your full name is Jennifer Fish Lemp. And it's not FISH, it's FISCH. So, where can we find this beautiful book of poems you've written?
Okay, thanks, Steph. You can order it online at Amazon, Barnes and Noble, or iTunes. I must mention, though, that apparently people are buying it from Amazon because it's available and then it's unavailable. So I think they order a small number of copies and then they're bought and then they order more and there's some time lag there. But my experience has been when I go on Barnes and Noble site, it's always available as the book. Amazon
Great.
has it available as Kindle. So I just feel certain that your listeners will find poems to which they can relate, and that'll draw them closer to God and to the truth, beauty, and joy of their own lives, even in the midst of, difficulty and suffering and pain and health issues or other issues. So I hope and pray that your listeners will find that they too can rest on a pillow of prayers and be at peace in God's loving arms. Mm-hmm. I think using that imagery is so powerful. That's why I like poems, because images can really comfort. I find that for myself, and what we focus on is very powerful.
Yeah. And God gave us our imagination and contemplation as a gift. And, St. Ignatius talks about that. I love the idea of creating an image in your mind. And I feel like God uses that to bring us closer to him. So thank you for writing this book, Mom. Thanks for sharing about it on the podcast. And I hope everybody will just check it out and maybe get it for yourself, get a gift for somebody. Christmas is coming up. And thanks for being here, Mom. Can you close us in prayer?
This has been such a special time. Thank you, Stephanie. And it would be a blessing to be able to give a prayer. The first one is from me, and the second one is a classic prayer from St. Teresa of Avila. So first one from me: Dear Lord, I pray for all those listening to this podcast today, especially those who are suffering and do not feel your presence. We ask that you move powerfully in our lives. Show us your face. Let us be reminded of your eternal love. Help us to accept the suffering that you allow, and let us to become better, not bitter, as we trust in your plans for us. We belong to you and surrender ourselves to you. We only ask for the love, grace, and courage we need to do your will. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And the prayer of St. Teresa of Avila. This is what I'd like to your listeners to stay with, to sit with. Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. All things are passing away. God never changes. Patience obtains all things. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone suffices. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to Mom's podcast. Thanks for listening to Mom's podcast.
Thanks for listening today, friend. I'm so grateful to have you here as part of the 500 Seconds to Joy community. And if you love what you heard here, please share it with a friend. Let's build up the body of Christ and spread joy and love to more Christian families just like you. Until next time, I am so grateful to have you here, and I am praying for you and your family. Bye for now.
Bye for now. Bye for now.